ending strip. It's the 344th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
It's Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live, thank you. Arigato. Thank you for joining us live. I know we're a little bit late. We've been a little erratic of the days that we get on, blah, blah, blah,
and this times. And
that, times, all that good stuff. But if you're watching us live, you could log into your YouTube or Google account. That way you could check in the show. So feel free to talk shit, fact check us, just say hi, ask us questions, whatever. If you're not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio, or just drop a comment down below. Giggity. Chris!
First, you want to tell them why we're starting at 9 tonight?
No, I don't. Chris, first week of the Wednesday Night Wars. Yes. I think we discussed this the last time that we were on the air. Which one are we watching this week? Who's watching what first or whatever, right? And I did say, I remember that it's somewhat irrelevant in this day and age where you have DVR, you have Hulu, you have the network, you have all these other avenues to watch stuff that you missed. Whereas back when it was Nitro versus Raw, the best you got was a VHS tape recorder thing, which was, you know, somewhat unreliable. So you kind of had to flip back and forth between the channels, right? But now it's not really the same thing. But the question that was posed was, which one are you going to watch first? And because we're old men, that wound up being
speak for yourself.
That wound up being an actually more relevant question than what I thought. Now, what I answered was, I'm going to watch AEW live because it's the first one. You know, and then I'll go back and watch NXT a little bit later.
Later.
Well,
How late?
I didn't expect it to be that much later. Later, tonight. As of like 15 minutes ago, we just finished. But even then, we were like fast forwarding through stuff so we could get on here. But Chris, how did you watch? What did you watch first? Did you care to watch first?
Oh, man. I cared to watch first to the point that I was visibly upset. I didn't realize until Tuesday that I wasn't going to be able to watch anything live on Wednesday. I actually had to work.
Oh, boo.
I gave someone my word that I would help out an event for the Houston Rockets, which I thought was on Tuesday because that's what was discussed last week, that it would, the second event would be on a Tuesday. No, they changed the date on me last minute. Shisha, Wednesday, 5 to 9:30.
Pocket sand.
Yeah. I couldn't watch fucking nothing.
Wah-wah.
So I came back home, and until about maybe 11:30, 11:45, I saw everything from AEW up to the 6-man tag main event.
Okay.
This afternoon during lunch, I finished the tag match and I started watching NXT. I came home, finished watching NXT until I found out you hadn't even started watching NXT.
That's right. So
tell them.
So my intention was to watch AEW and then immediately after watch NXT. No, I'm an old ass man. I couldn't hang. I had to go to sleep. Got work the next morning. It was a long week. I couldn't hang. So I was like, fuck it. I'll watch NXT on Thursday. Totally forgetting the fact that we had to do this show. You know, but already that's it's a casualty of how much fucking content is out there. Week one, I'm already fucked up. Week one. But again, that's just me because we have responsibilities to do this show. But, you know, I'm old. And
I'm older.
You know, yeah. And there's going to be some folks that don't have this same, you know, problem, right? Maybe some of our viewers don't have this problem. I mean, you don't want to hear me bitch and complain about me not being able to watch it. You just want to hear my opinion. Okay, great. So let's just talk about our opinions. So let me ask you a question. You watched AEW first, and then you watch NXT, both on delay, both with fast forward juice, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you regret your decisions?
No.
Or are you going to change your decisions next week?
No.
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 Both not live, both on Fast forward.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to be in the same predicament next week.
Okay.
Because next week, I am not going to be here at home watching AEW or NXT. I'm going to be at the theater watching a theatrical release of the Metallica and San Francisco Symphony concert that I went to so I could see and watch everything in 1080p, mix and master surround sound, so I could hear things that I would have missed from the crow's nest up there in San Francisco at the Chase Center. So I'll be watching that. When I come home, I'll be doing the same shit I did today and yesterday, which is I'm watching AEW before I go to sleep, and then I'm probably going to break out NXT, half of it during lunch and the other half when I get home, because I'm pretty sure next week's NXT is not going to have limited commercial interruptions, and I'm sure AEW's won't either. So that's the plan. So today was like the beta test.
Okay.
Next week, full motion.
So for you personally, you're still watching AEW first. Mm-hmm. You're watching NXT second, but both of which you're going to watch on a delay.
Which means I'm avoiding the internet until I watch both.
Right, which is tough.
It was.
You said you got spoiled on something.
On one thing, and I almost threw my phone in the toilet. It's like, nah.
What did you get spoiled on?
The return of Finn Balor.
Okay.
Alex Del Barrio, friend of the show. Alex Reyes from NXT.
Go to AEW.
Yeah. He posted on Facebook, well, now that my friend Finn's back, maybe he wants his favorite announcer to show up on back on the brand too. And I was like, I put it together because I was like half gone. It was a busy day at work today. And then I was like, fuck! That was it. I threw my phone down. I was like, fuck it.
Got you.
What about you, man? Do you regret anything?
Yes. The regret that I have is not sitting and peeling my eyeballs open and watching NXT that same night. I had to avoid all social media like the plague all day today. And because I didn't want to get spoiled, because immediately Porsche said that you're going to get spoiled. And I was like, oh, shit, really? Something big happened? I really should have watched NXT? Yeah. Like, okay, well, I'm going to try the best I can and just go to work, put my head down, stick my nose into work, get home, watch the show. No, I ain't going to do that shit. I'm going to try my best to actually watch AEW, watch NXT. I don't regret my decision. Well, I regret the fact that I just, like, chickened out on it.
Your plan wasn't full.
Yeah. Now I'm more resolute next week, but I still am. I'm feeling like I think I'm cool with watching AEW live and NXT.
Or first.
And AEW live.
Okay.
That's the only way I'm going to be able to pull off watching 4 hours of wrestling in one night on a fucking Wednesday. That's the only way I'm going to.
We rescheduled this whole show for that.
When it starts at 7, we're talking about 2 hours, 7 to 11. That's a lot. That's a lot for me.
Fast forward juice on the second show, so maybe an hour 30.
Yeah, still, that's a lot for me. I'm usually in bed by 10.
With limited TV time remaining.
Yes.
Two-part question.
Yeah.
Now I'm throwing it at you. Better show, Dynamite or NXT?
NXT.
Ah.
Now.
Is your match of the week pick from NXT?
Possibly.
Oh, shit.
Now, here's why I'm like so hesitant on that. Because I watched all of AEW start to finish, no fast forward juice, live. So I had all the commercials, all the picture-in-picture commercial interruptions. I got the full McGillicuddy. NXT, just throwing this out there, being transparent. We fast forward through a bit. We fast forward through a bit because we wanted to get this show up and on the road by 9.
He threatened not to do the recording tonight.
Yeah.
Perspective.
Yeah, but I liked some of the wrestling on NXT a little bit better than I liked in AEW. Now, I can't really compare apples to apples for character development, storyline stuff, this and that, because I think we pretty much just watched the matches for NXT, But it's my opinion. My opinion can change. That's coming from my perspective there. I don't think it's all encompassing. Go ahead.
My round one winner is AEW. However, my match of the week pick is not from AEW. Here's the one thing AEW had that, for me, in my experience watching both shows, that NXT didn't have.
What's that?
You mentioned that NXT is already an established brand. There's characters you already recognize.
Yeah.
That could be an asset. In your case, it can be a detriment. In my case. Okay. Because there's still people that, I'm not too into. I'm willing to be on my phone. I'm willing to count all my money on Simpsons Tapped Out. I'm willing to level up on Candy Crush. I'm willing to text a couple people, update my Facebook status, fast forward through some shit. I didn't do any of that with AEW. And I saw AEW the same way I saw NXT, through a filtered, unaffiliated, third-party internet site.
Yar. Yo, yeah. Ho, ho.
Yeah. So I could have fast-forwarded through AEW if I wanted to. But there was so much unknown with AEW that I couldn't turn it away. You know? And not only that, that's hooked me to where – I might be the same way next week, because next week's kind of a different episode.
Right.
So my pick, for if I had to choose between the two, would be AEW. Because I fast-forwarded. You saw when I catered the catalog to you.
Yeah.
There's a lot that we skipped.
Yep.
That I even skipped before myself, you know. So that's my shot. We can go through the list real quick. Of the people that posted on our Facebook page, they made it very clear. the winners were us.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, because for most of the posts I saw, people were either praising AEW or marking out for themselves that they enjoyed everything. I didn't really hear or see whether it was on our Facebook page or online, Twitter, Lords of Pain, forums, all kinds of other stuff. I didn't really hear a lot of negative about either one. Had their opinion. Like, NXT played to their strengths. AEW played to their strengths. And there wasn't really enough of a flaw in either one to be like, everything was cool. But I didn't see or hear or read any of that stuff.
Okay. Well, this is what we do on this show.
That guy?
Yeah, Aaron's in the live chat. Aaron, welcome. Thank you for joining us. He says, Jack Swagger doesn't appreciate the pirating. It's un-American.
That's parent Aaron talking.
Oh, yes. Dad Aaron.
Yeah. What do you want to break down first?
Just don't call him daddy. Robert. What's up, Robert? Thank you for joining us in the live chat. He says, let's just be thankful Swagger didn't cut another Jumping Jack promo. Yeah, you're right. Well, look, we both watched AEW first. Let's talk about AEW first, okay? Was that what you were trying to get at? One we're going to dissect first? All right.
First impression.
I think NXT had the better show. But there's a lot of stuff that I really, really like from AEW. One thing that I want to say right out the bat, right from the get-go, something we don't talk a whole lot about on here because we just kind of take it for granted. It's kind of like tuning into sports talk and they're talking about fucking special teams instead of the offensive defense. But I'm going to talk about it. The artistic video packaging and the production, thoroughly liked the powdered color type of theme that they have going on with their video packaging and their graphics and stuff like that. Because Raw is red, SmackDown is blue, NXT is yellow. What color is AEW going to be? I figured they were just going to go with the, the red and white, or like the gold with the black. But, you know, NXT kind of has gold and black. So I was like, what the fuck
are they going to do? Then you remember, AEW is all inclusive.
Yeah.
They have the trans wrestler in the female division, the dude without legs, Sonny Kiss. What colors do they represent? All the colors.
And I really, really enjoyed it. Like, I thought that was
okay. I just literally figured that out in the last, like, 15 seconds while you were mentioning all that.
But I liked it. I like that they're just, like, keeping this as, like, we have a lot of different fucking paints that we could use on the fucking easel. You know, I that set a really good tone for me. The crowd was fucking hype. The crowd was fucking hot for Cody right from the get-go.
More importantly, the crowd was sold. There were moments where I felt AEW was competing with NXT. Then there were other moments I felt AEW was like gnawing at the heels of like the main roster. Show me in the last 6 months a shot from Raw or SmackDown where they show an audience like that, completely sold out on the floor, on the bottom level, and on the top level. I dare you to do it in the last 6 months. That's not a pay-per-view or WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And it felt like, holy shit, that's the place I need to go to. That's the place I need to be, because apparently everybody's crammed in that fucker.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the NXT cul-de-sac where it's like 150 people. No, AEW had 11,000 people.
Yeah. Like, that was a pretty good crowd.
And they all looked like they showered.
And holy shit, is that Jay and Silent Bob? Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Oh, y'all sick of the Cracker Barrel? We'll throw you something different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Snoochie Boochies.
Uh-huh.
And man, that crowd was fucking hype when Cody went out. One thing that I was a little disappointed on was the set was the same set that we saw at all the goddamn pay-per-views with the chandelier-looking centerpiece thingy.
And the two TNA tubes.
Yeah, which I think they need to distinguish the TV from the pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the biggest fan of that. Maybe, yeah, give them time. Maybe
a lot of the negatives are just going to be answered with
give it time.
Give it time.
Oh, yeah. Now, I think immediately right off the bat, they kicked off with a mistake.
Which is?
As over as Cody fucking was, oh my god, the opening fucking video. This is cool. Oh my god, Cody coming out with Brandy. Oh my god, Sammy Guevara.
Really?
I like Sammy Guevara. Mm-hmm. Houston, Texas. Awesome. I'm glad he was getting his shot. But as an overall wrestling fan, taking out that bias aside,
The
general populace didn't care. They were like, oh, fuck yeah. And you saw Cody going from one side of the ring, hey, and everybody screams. It goes to the other side, the hard camera side, hey, and everybody screams. And then Sammy's music hit. Oh, yeah, we're going to have a match with, who's this guy?
Who's Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah, who's this Kung Fu Panda guy? Oh, yeah, okay. Like, they really should have just, like, all right, here we go. Here's the fucking opening video. Okay, cool. Sammy Guevara. Oh, great. That means that we're going to have Sammy versus Cody. All right, awesome. Then Cody. Oh, fuck. Cody made his entrance. Ah! Then start the match. Oh, boom. You know, they kind of went whoop, whoop.
Like that. I think it was designed that way because I think Cody wanted to be the first person to come out on that show.
Okay.
If you're tuning in, you got the clicker. Holy crap, what's this AEW? Holy crap, what are all these people that I recognize? Who's going to come out first? Wait, a dude in a panda hat? Click.
Okay.
So you had to show Cody first. It's funny because me sitting in my couch watching it on the tablet, I was like, all right, the intro, cool. JR and Tony Schiavone, cool. X is in the mix, cool. The promo video that they showed, which there was a longer version in the special that happened last night, the Road to Dynamite.
Which I didn't watch that. The night before.
There's a nice interview between Tony Schiavone and Cody, and they spliced that in, and I hadn't seen the Sammy Guevara stuff. So they spliced in the Sammy Guevara stuff. I was like, okay, this is a guy that he's telling me that's like, I'm not going to know who he is until he actually does something. So, of course, he comes out to the ring, and nobody knows who the fuck Panda Guy is. Right. And then 5 minutes into the match, you're like, holy fuck, Panda Guy!
Yeah.
Yeah, again.
Which, as the Houston delegate to the rest of the world, we fucking told you!
Pendejo. Yeah. Again, give it time, because there's going to be a lot of that. I don't want to try to say this too much, because I don't want to sound like I'm picking one side over the other, but just to point stuff out there that people might not be that it might be on the periphery, people aren't noticing. When WCW had Nitro, they had WCW Saturday Night for at least 3 years. They had Saturday Morning Wrestling. They had half of the roster that was already from NWA. So they were established for at least a decade before they got on TV on Monday nights at 7 o'clock with Monday Nitro.
Yeah.
Other than five or six guys, a lot of these rosters are like you don't knows. You don't know that guy. You don't know this guy. You don't know that girl. You don't know why that dude is wearing a bra. You don't know why that guy left his legs at home. You don't know half of these people. Most of these people. Hell, if you're not on the internet, if you're a casual, other than Chris Jericho and maybe Cody, maybe, you don't know who any of these guys are.
Good point. So if you're somebody that just saw the commercial during Raw and you're a casual-ish wrestling fan and you decided to tune in, you're right. The only people you would know would be Cody and Jericho.
If this was a legit war, if you want to compare wars, WCW had the tanks, had the weaponry, but they didn't have experience in using it. Fucking WWE against AEW. AEW's fucking taking the shit out of the box and reading IKEA instructions. Like, they're not, they're like, as far as like established compared to WWE, these guys, fuck.
Yeah.
It's like, they're nowhere near. So the fact
that they're building the airplane while it's in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking Wright brothers all the way.
Yeah.
So for them to be at bumfuck nowhere and beat NXT in ratings, beat NXT in attendance, beat at least half of the Raws and SmackDown attendances this year alone.
Yeah.
That's saying a fucking lot of AEW. Even if they lost the ratings.
Yeah.
Even if the place wasn't completely sold out.
I wonder if that says more about the market than it does the product.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, we as wrestling fans are clamoring so much for something other than WWE. But something still in the States, so not New Japan, not something that we've seen for a long time that hasn't gotten up off the ground like Impact or ROH, something that might have fucking legs. Maybe it says more about us, the consumers, than it does about the product. I'm not totally 100% convinced that that product is as polished as the product we saw the following night at NXT. Mm-hmm. All right? That being said, we're still talking about the first goddamn match.
Uh-huh.
Match of the week candidate. That may have been the match of the week pick. Sammy had a really good showing against Cody. I really thought Sammy could have beat Cody there a few times. I think I went into this saying that Cody's going to win on our prediction show. I believe
of course,
I said that.
Cody's
going to win.
But
it got close there. And I saw this somewhere. I'm not sure. Maybe Cult of Kayfabe or Smart Life or something like that. One of the Facebook groups. Somebody had an opinion where they were talking about that the story of the match isn't that Cody beat Sammy. It was that Sammy beat Sammy. Mm-hmm. Sammy just kind of has the talent and the skill and the ability to hang with these top guys. But he's inexperienced where he's still doing stuff that gets in his own way, mm-hmm. which is the correct story I think they should run if they're trying to develop somebody on TV for the national audience.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that as a wrestler, as a performer, that he could probably hang with Cody as is, but as a storyline, you know, type thing, you got to show, oh, he can't hang until he can, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. which it's good. I like it. Yeah. I think in a loss, he still looks strong. Now, Robert Medlin in the live chat has an interesting take on here.
No, he doesn't.
Oh, no, it's not Robert. I'm sorry. It was Aaron.
I just guessed. I
just saw orange. Both of their little things are orange. Anyway, Hangman and Cody should have traded opponents for the first show.
Mm.
Cody versus what's his futsy?
Versus Pac?
Yeah, Cody wow. versus Pac. Then you would have had right then and there. You could have had Cody come out second even, and that's still – You're still no, I'm sorry. You could have had Pac come out second, even, and that's still okay. Boom. But that crowd just took a bit of a nosedive when Sammy came out. But then Sammy versus Hangman would have been a really good match too. So I don't know. But again, that's nitpicking.
Yeah. Oh,
nitpicking.
Yeah. That's trying.
The match itself was fucking great. The match itself, I wanted to say, was going to be my match of the week.
Woo!
It's just a candidate. Now. But like that was the first out of the Wednesday matches that I saw. Nothing from Monday was gonna make match of the week. I'm sorry. Mm. Nothing from Monday. I mean Monday was all right, but whatever. Eh. But the first match I saw on Wednesday,
was there anything on that show that matched or exceeded that level of excitement or interest for you? Or was
After
that the
watching
or was
it?
That the match of the night for the entire show?
No.
Divulge.
I really, really, really enjoyed the women's title match a lot.
Wow.
I thought my match of the week was going to be Sammy versus Cody until I saw Rio versus Nyla. They put on a good show. You know how much I fucking sat here? Well, not here, but at HWR HQ last week talking about how I don't really like Nyla. That whole fucking long
you like the movement. You don't like her fucking wrestling.
I don't really like her wrestling. Yeah.
And then
I might have to eat a little bit of crow. These are hot Cheetos, not crow.
Crow's feet.
That's dumb. That was off camera too. No, it wasn't off camera.
Nyla, you like that match more than Cody and
she did a lot better than what I thought she was capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Now, how much is that? Was that, you know, she had a good and partner? Yeah. I don't know. But she wasn't moving as stiff.
Yeah, she, I noticed that.
And I don't mean stiff in a good way. I mean stiff as in like just kind of fucking move, you
she
know?
She felt confident in what she was doing, and she didn't look like she had that up to this point.
Right. And it showed. Yeah, it showed. Yeah. Like, there was a rigidness to her movements, a non-fluidity to her movements in the matches I've seen before. But this particular match, she seemed to kind of let loose. She seemed more in her element. Maybe she knows Rio a little bit better. I don't know. Or maybe Rio just pulled it out of her, or maybe they practiced the fucking match 10 million times where she thought she was going to be okay. I don't fucking know. But she did really, really good. Maybe it was the fact that it was the explicit story of something she's more comfortable with, which is me big versus you small. Grr. You know, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's the match type that she's used to.
Sometimes you know? Easy's best if it fits, and it definitely fit.
Aaron says Rio versus Nyla felt like a Tekken match. Why do you feel like a Tekken match?
The question I should ask is that a complaint?
Yeah.
You love Tekken.
You do love Tekken.
No, you love Tekken.
I do. Well, he does too.
Yeah, y'all love Tekken. So that could be a compliment in disguise.
Maybe.
Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes the easy story is best if it works. And knowing that I was getting the story that you see hundreds of times in wrestlers, male or female, in that situation, me big, you small, girl. If it's told well, it's done. You want to watch it again. Yeah. That's why we keep watching wrestling. Half of wrestling is same shit we've seen for the last 30 years anyway, just told through different glasses and different characters or different stories or different plot twists, mm-hmm. you know? And I thought it worked very well. Actually, I might be in agreement with you that might be my match of the night from the entire show. I would have Cody versus Sammy Guevara third. I would have Hangman versus Pac second because that was a match that I had wanted to see at the fucking Double or Nothing, and that didn't happen. And because the finish was unexpected, I'm loving this heel Pac streak. You know, fuck it, put heel versus heel. If you're gonna do records like that, give me Pac versus Jericho.
Yeah,
you know why not? We tried that in WWE, and Pac hurt himself, Jericho called it off. So fuck it. If we're going legit UFC, I hate that guy. I hate that guy. Fuck both of those guys. But I'm going to still watch one of them get the fuck beat out of each other. Mm-hmm. Give it to me. So that surprised me. But I think the match of the night might actually be and this is a show that had fucking Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks on it. And it's not even in the top three.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not knocking the match. Tag match was fun, too.
Well, we'll get to
that. There's a lot of shit going on in that match, among other things. But, yeah, I think the women's match stole the show for me.
Daniel Price, what's up, man? Thank you for joining us. He says Paige versus Pac was very good. Robert Medlin says Paige or Pac versus Hangman was my favorite. he refers to you as organ donor. and then Robert says maybe I need to go rewatch the match. Talking about the women's match that he fell asleep during it. Okay,
but it's again. Like NXT, for example, a takeover, where there are times where you ask 20 different people, you'll get almost every match from takeover as their favorite for match of the night.
Right.
This is polarizing to where almost every match on AEW, somebody's got a favorite, and it's not always the same match. And the fact that almost the entire show, is once we get to the main tag match, if even three of these matches out of these three, people can't decide which is their favorite, or people are choosing a bit of everything. That means it was a fucking good show.
Can I tell you which match I think was the worst match of the night?
Don't tell me MJF against the Cutler guy.
MJF versus the Cutler guy.
God damn.
That
was a good story. All the
was it a story or was it a cover-up? Like when the dude was up on the top rope and he slipped and he fell.
I think he fucked up, but he covered it up very well.
Okay, I couldn't tell if that was a cover-up or if that was like I'm supposed to fall as part of the story of this matchup. Like, I don't know. But either way, it was short. It was whatever.
It got MJF over.
It was pretty much a jobber match just to showcase MJF. Exactly. MJF. This Cutler guy, I don't really know much about him. I know the commentary they were talking about, oh, he goes back with the Young Bucks, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah, and cool. He likes Dungeons and Dragons. All right, you're 0 for 2. Yeah. Give me something.
He looked very indie to me.
He looked he took like a bagel bite that still needed half more time in the oven.
Yeah. he looked very, very, I don't want to say green. He just looked very indie to me.
I would say he's the kind of character that needs a gimmick to help him get over. Something to help him stand out. What that gimmick is, I don't know. But he needs a little help.
Here's his gimmick. Oh, Aaron.
Cutler was have just came over, Aaron.
Yeah, I know. Cutler was boring. He just needs a bag of dice to throw at people. Embracing D&D gimmick. He rolled a stack of dice and bam!
He rolls a dice and he has to beat that wrestler to the cover that he rolled.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he got a 19 count. Fuck, we're going to be here a while.
When pizza's on the bagel, you can eat pizza anytime. That's true.
Yeah.
Like, it not being on a bagel has ever stopped me from eating pizza.
Oh, bagels. It's Mexican bread without the sugar. But even that had a purpose.
It was the worst match, but that doesn't mean it was a bad match.
Yeah, it was. Because, right? Because the sole purpose of that match was to show that MJF is a dick, MJF is a good wrestler, MJF beat off said dick, and he left. Like, yeah. Everything on that card had a purpose. Again, I did not fast forward through anything on this card because they had enough either one way or the other, one side of the ring or the other, or both of them together for me to keep watching it.
And Cutler is AEW's version of Oney Lorcan. I don't know. They try to portray Oney Lorcan as like a credible wrestler, somebody who could be a brawler. I don't think this Cutler guy looked like he could be a threat.
Again,
am I wrong?
Back to the standard defense.
All right.
How long have we known Oney Lorcan? How long have we known Cutler Boy? Exactly. Give it time.
All right. All right.
Main event, tag match, 6-man.
You're skipping too far ahead on tags.
Okay. What are we missing? The interview with SCU in front of the White House?
Oh, that too. No, I meant
and
like,
then their face-off with the...
No, I meant one of my... Well, you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about that one. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Ain't much there. It ain't much to talk about except I'm already, like, hungry. Like, dude, the weird thing about AEW, and I don't know why I do these food analogies with you, man. I don't know what it is. That's probably it. I've never wanted to meal prep more than I do when I watch AEW. Like, I'm hungry for 2 weeks from now for Lucha Bros against fucking SCU. I'm hungry next week for Luchasaurus and Luchasaurus and them.
Yeah.
And the main event match, which we'll get to. Like, they've 8 shows that they've announced so far, and they have matches already for all 8 of those shows for you to be like, oh, man. Can it be 3 weeks from now already? Can it be November 6th or whatever the next Monday show is that we already know? Holy fuck, that match is going to be sick. God damn. They set up a lot of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of digging the tournament.
What were you going to brag about?
My other favorite tag team that's from AEW, who's winless. Fucking Angelico and Evans. Angelico and Evans coming out there talking shit to Jay and Silent Bob. Like,
and they must watch the product.
Yeah.
Or they came across like they watched the product. It's like, y'all motherfuckers ain't winning shit.
Yeah.
And then let me go rent the first Silent Bob movie now.
And here was something that was kind of weird. When Private Party goes out there to try to calm it down, I thought that was going to lead to like a match or a confrontation. But no, then you saw security kind of
escorting
Private Party away. Like, was this the same situation with Gronk and that other security person at WrestleMania where the security didn't know that's part of the show? Yeah. Like, I was like, why is the security guard shooting
and
away?
And it's AEW security.
Yeah, like, so I wasn't really sure what was going on there. But, like, that's different. So kudos for doing something a little different that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
You know, and that was cool.
Oh, man.
Jack Evans looks like the love child of Jason Mewes. All right. lack of Luchasaurus is shameful.
Can't bust your nut and do all the sexy moves in the first episode. You got to save some of the positions for later.
I don't know. It was 2 hours. I felt like there was...
Did Cody and Sammy need to go that long?
It was an empanada that wasn't filled up all the way. You still like it. It's still an empanada. It still tastes good. Again, food fucking analogies. But like,
drive me to a fucking coma.
You're missing a little bit of stuffing. There's too much air here. You needed some more stuffing in there. Like, you could have squeezed in somebody else.
Like Houston Wrestling Radio next week, starring Gordon Ramsay.
This is shit. Shit. This cow's still moving at me. It's so raw.
You put so much salt and pepper on it, I can hear the steak singing. Push it.
I want to hear Gordon Ramsay say that.
Oh, shit. Do you want to talk about the main event tag match
now? Yes, yes. Please, bring it on.
So, Chris Jericho and LAX, or I guess in AEW, they're going to just call them LAX, against the Young Bucks.
Just calling them Santana and Ortiz.
Yeah, against the Young Bucks and the Young Bucks, because poor Kenny Omega.
That poor Kenny Omega. One thing that I noticed is that throughout the night, you know, they had the standings, and the standing says single and tag, right? Mm-hmm. But for that three-man tag, it says single and trios.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because it's the Elite.
Well, no, that was actually on Jericho's thing. When I first noticed it, it was on Jericho's. Jericho's,
yeah, because they're wrestling against the Elite.
Yeah, I know. My point is, every wrestler is going to have a single, a tag, and a trios of win-loss.
And an intergender.
Maybe.
A part of me wondered when Kenny Omega came out to break up Riho getting the shit beat out of by Nyla. I was like, but Kenny Omega's put his hands on that girl? That's kind of a dude. Wait, what? You're going to blur that line?
I almost forgot about that.
Go for it.
Throw a wiener in the ring.
Nyla! Come throw out this dinner.
God damn it.
This is why I can never run for any kind of office or HISD board or anything at work or any charities at work, because they'll be able to dig up some of this footage from the beginning when I first got here. So from episode 42, I embrace the fact that I'm not going to go anywhere in life. So I'm just letting it all hang out now. So
yeah.
At least enjoy what I have left. Oh. Kenny Omega got his ass whooped.
I'm sorry. This was something from Robert. He expounded on my empanada analogy. He says it's like that one lady at Chipotle that doesn't give you a whole spoonful of meat.
That's specific.
Who hurt you, Robert? Who hurt you?
What was his name? Because you know it's women portion that shit out good. It's guys that don't know what they're doing.
Which Chipotle was it? Where did they hurt you, Robert?
He's being secretive. It was really Freebirds.
Oh, don't. No, you fucking. No, you not. You better don't.
From Cactus Music, where's the closest Chipotle and where's the closest Freebird?
I'm not sure.
Exactly. Freebird's the answer. Kenny Omega got his ass beat by Moxley. God damn, that table spot. That glass table spot.
That was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
That was nasty.
I like it nasty.
Give
it to me.
All right. So Moxley is okay, I guess. Okay enough to put himself through a glass table. he's picking on Kenny.
Been picking on Kenny.
That really didn't have any tie in to what the hell was actually going on in that match. Okay, fine, whatever. I mean, you're still trying to establish a bunch of stuff. I think the reason why I wasn't too interested in the six-man tag is because I don't care that much about Santana and Ortiz.
Mm. Would you have preferred the Lucha Bros?
Yeah.
a feud that we've had damn near all year between the Young Bucks and the Bullet.
Yeah, I know, but
not that I'm complaining, but I'm just devil's advocate.
I mean, I don't know, like, it didn't seem right.
Young Bucks are going to wrestle the Private Party next week in the first round of the tournament.
Cool.
Would you have wanted Private Party to team up with Jericho to get their hands on the Young Bucks as a softening?
I didn't want them to get that heel rub because I want them to be faces still. And I think they kind of are.
So who you put in that spot then?
Man, the Lucha Bros? I don't know.
Because the Lucha Bros are the heels that you like, just like the Young Bucks used to be the heels that you like. I mean, like
definitely not Uno and Dos.
Nobody wants Uno and Dos. At this point, they want Settle.
Yeah. What does it say?
Speak up about the ending.
I didn't think this until independent wrestlers. So I'm not going to put this one particular guy on blast. And
say, Ryan.
No, not Ryan. one that I'm closer with than Ryan. But anyway,
Hugh.
He was basically saying, "Oh, great! You know, we just ended the show with NWO being on top. This isn't anything different. It's history repeating from 20 years ago." You know, AEW's being WCW. And I was like, what?
Really?
Like, you think that this is NWO is forming? Like, I don't know. But I got a chance to think about it. I saw other people commenting on the same thing, that this may be the beginning of another heel faction at the first fucking episode with Jericho and Hager and maybe even Moxley, maybe even Sammy Guevara, maybe even the tag team that was with them. Like, I mean, do you think that's gonna be a fucking faction? When I was watching it in my own time, without being influenced by other people's opinions on Facebook, my own time, I just thought, oh great, we just want to get everybody out there so everybody gets TV time on the first episode. That's all I thought it was. I didn't think
with TV time remaining.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a faction is forming. But I don't know. What's your opinion on that? Are people reading too much into it, or are they spot on?
I don't know, man. I think those same people would have thrown the complaint that, oh my God, it's being the Elite, so Cody and the Bucks and Omega have to go over on the first show. Oh, this feels like in the like. I figured they would have had that complaint if it was the Elite going over in the first episode against Jericho and the Cuban Mexican guys. Like, it's just a weird take to have. I mean, in the moment, I just assumed, holy crap, all right. They brought in sidebar. Commentary was – I want to say commentary was flawless for AEW. But the asterisk is, I love the part where JR said, after the fans were chanting, holy shit, when Jaeger came out, JR
– You get one, Jimmy. You get one.
You get one, Jimmy.
And he cashed that fucker in. I laughed everybody so loud. I laughed so fucking loud at that. But, dude, they hammered home very quickly. Undefeated in Bellator, Jack Jaeger. I was like, okay, this guy's a big deal. Like, once they said that, I forgot about Swagger.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
I forgot about Lucha Underground.
Oh.
Dude, this... I've never heard
you know who he was? He was Luger. Luger walking down at the end of the first Nitro. That's who the fuck he was. It was Luger.
Did you complain then?
Well, I didn't watch the first episode of Nitro,
there you go.
To be honest. Both had all-American gimmicks. Both were kind of dopey. Both had untapped potential in the previous company. Wanted to be the top guy, but weren't the top guy. Both blonde, good-looking dudes, quote-unquote.
I don't know about good-looking. They both look like, well.
Well, yeah. But they were supposed to be good-looking dudes. Swagger's fucking Lex Luger. The narcissist.
The All-American American.
The whole.
And again, a 10,000 seat arena telling me what's cool and what's not cool. If they like what they saw, fuck it. I'm going in blind. Aaron, not blind. I'm going in. I'm following the sheeple in that point.
Isn't Swagger still technically Lucha Underground champion?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
He is?
They ended the season with Swagger as the champ.
Well, suffering a succotash.
That's AEW. Okay.
Let's transition over to NXT.
NXT.
My match of the week pick! Adam Cole against fucking Matt Riddle. Jesus fuck.
All right.
Let me be the first to say, if I haven't already said it, or if I was doubtful, or if I wasn't completely all in the pocket, Matt Riddle's ready, bro.
Bro.
He's a main eventer. That match sold me that he's a main eventer.
Okay.
How much of that was Adam Cole directing traffic? How much of that was just pure storytelling? He's fucking ready. The only problem is, the only conundrum I'm going to have now is, ready for what? Because this ain't developmental no more.
And you done lost to the champ now anyways.
Yep.
So
checkmate. What's next?
Oopsies. I very much thoroughly enjoyed the match. This is the match that I'm kind of thinking maybe this is going to wind up being my match of the week pick. I'm not sure yet. I need you to convince me a little, but I'm not sure. There's one other match that we haven't got to yet that I was like, oh, this is actually going to beat the other match.
Speak on it. I already know what it is.
You want me to throw it out there?
Throw it out there.
Great. It's Danny Burch versus Pete Dunne. Damn, that was a good ass fucking match.
Yeah.
What I really liked about it is the fact that Danny Burch almost out Pete Dunne. You know, especially in the beginning where Pete Dunne was trying to do his like thing, joint manipulation, and he just countered out of it and put Pete Dunne in his own fucking move. I'm like, whoa, hold up. Okay, you met your fucking match. All right, I'm invested in this match now. That was probably going to be a throwaway match after I just basked in the fucking glow of this NXT championship match. I'm like, oh God, this match. But then I was like, whoa, with this match, the only thing that like has got me kind of, I'm not sure, is the finish seemed to come a little bit quicker than I thought it was gonna. Mm-hmm. And I would have liked to have seen Danny Burch pull off that upset. I think the wrong guy won this one.
The match felt a little bit quicker, not in a derogatory way. I wanted more, but I can understand why I didn't get more, because the highlight of that show wasn't supposed to be a non-title match. The highlight of that show was supposed to be the three title matches. Easily, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch is in the top three of the night.
Okay.
Possibly even the top two. I'm not completely sure yet. But again, you counter your first full episode of NXT on USA in front of an established audience, and that Full Sail crowd, for the lack of people that were in there compared to AEW, they were on fucking fire too.
They were.
And from the very beginning, they ate all that shit up. And there's a chemistry between the two, between Riddle and Cole. It felt like, probably because they might have, but I wouldn't know, but it felt like they've already wrestled a couple times before. It was a great story, and that Riddle kind of felt like the whole thing with Sammy Guevara also, where it felt like he might have got in his own way.
You think so?
Yeah. And maybe he underestimated. Like, maybe he got, oh, man, I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he countered that Panama Sunrise, the second attempt. And then, he took one, he countered one, then he took another one.
Dude, but there were some counter spots in that match.
There was.
Holy shit, where he did that deadlift German and a damn near spike Cole in his head.
Yeah. Ooh,
and fuck. Cole still came back for more.
There was a lot of stiff fucking strikes in that match, too. Yeah. And like, trying to compare that match to the Danny Burch match, when they European uppercutted each other in their own arms and they both sold their arms, that was fucking brilliant.
That was fresh.
I hadn't seen that. But then, like, the knee strikes that fucking Bro was throwing around there were brutal.
There was a PK that he gave when Cole was sitting down that he gave so hard that he like jumped up in the air like a Sagat uppercut knee.
Yeah.
I was just like, holy shit.
Tiger knee.
Usually when there's counters like that, they try their hardest to make the moves look so clean that it looks at times like it's choreographed. Okay. I didn't get a lot, if any, of the choreographed feel watching Cole and fucking Riddle beat the shit out of each other with a lot of that stuff.
Did get that feel with Dunn versus Birch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yes. And again, you open the show, title match on the line. There were chances, especially when he slapped that bro mission. I got swept up. I was like, fuck, they're going to go for it. And then Cole's counter's like, oh, shit. And then they fucking kick. Oh, man.
Yeah. You know what? You convinced me. You convinced me. That's the match of the week. That match is the match of the week. Yeah. Okay. I'm on board. I knew I needed to talk it out.
A close second, though. A pretty close second is Dunn and fucking Danny Burch.
Okay.
I'm curious to see how they go, Pete Dunne and Damian Priest goes. That got my attention.
Yeah.
That little beatdown at the end got my attention. And that little like spotlight over it.
Yeah.
Was very unique to him that I hope that they keep. It's not like in the fucking Sin Cara style where they have the blue and green lights.
Yeah, the mood lighting.
But like just, yeah. But in those beatdown segments, instead of, I dig it.
Well, okay. Now let's go to the thing that you were spoiled on. Let's table Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch, okay? Let's go back to the match we just said was match of the week. At the end of the match, the NXT title match, we had a surprise return.
Mm-hmm. Finn Balor.
Finn Balor comes out.
He's back.
Eyeballs Adam Cole with the title. Grabs a microphone. Says, I'm back, bitch. Mm-hmm. Okay. This makes sense. He's kind of gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit on the main roster. He said before he left the main or to go to the main roster, he always wanted to stay in NXT. He wanted NXT to be his brand and to be a third brand. And we even were talking about this a little bit last week where we said, is NXT now a third brand? Is it not developmental anymore? The nail in that coffin for that argument is, boom, it's on mainstream TV. So, yeah, it's probably not developmental anymore. Yeah, it's probably the third brand. Is it going to be Raw versus SmackDown versus NXT, or is it going to be Raw versus SmackDown featuring NXT, like Raw versus SmackDown featuring ECW? We're not sure yet. The jury's still out on that. But they've taken one step closer for it to be a brand on its own, not developmental. And that's exactly what Finn Balor wanted from day one. So for him to go back, totally makes sense. I don't feel like it's him taking a step down from the main roster. Mm-hmm. Breezango, love them. Love them 100%. They stepped down from the main roster and went back to NXT. Finn doing this way, it feels like it's a step up for the brand. Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Before we go any further.
Okay.
We both agree that our match of the week is Adam Cole versus Matt Riddle.
This is true. Oh, motherfucker.
One, two, three. Wait, what?
I'm not sure, man. I need to watch it again.
Okay, pin
that. I need to watch it again.
Because something else happened.
I want to say no. The reason why I want to say no is because I was so easily persuaded just like 30 minutes later that this other match is better.
You know how you don't know if that's your match of the week?
Why?
Because the first half of it you were doing that.
Okay.
You missed a lot of stuff.
That's fair.
You didn't catch up to the match. You didn't invest in the match until you saw that first counter spot fest that turned into the suplex and all that other shit.
Okay.
So you were here, but you weren't really there.
And see, I was hooked right from the get-go with Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch because they just started going back and forth.
That and you weren't expecting that match.
That's true.
So he's like, wait, Pete Dunne against, And then the bell rang. Before the bell rang, Burch is all up in Pete Dunne's grill. Like, this is my milkshake. And Pete Dunne's like, oh, no, you didn't. And then the bell rang and, oh, yeah, they did. So I can see where you were hooked from the beginning, and the other one took a little bit of time in the water before somebody bit.
Yeah.
But take that advice, and we'll come back in the next couple of weeks in our next episode, and we'll talk about this because I did the same thing.
Anybody in the live chat, give us your opinion. Do you think that that match, Matt Riddle versus Adam Cole, NXT title, should be on our match of the year list?
Or while I was getting my oil changed after work.
Is that a euphemism for something?
No, on Saturday after work. Okay. I went and got my oil changed. My car was overdue. I went back and saw a match that I missed.
Yeah.
Donovan Dijakovic against motherfucking Keith Lee. Oh, yes.
That was a badass match a few weeks ago.
That I told you. That's on my personal match of the year list.
Okay.
I was enamored. The move, those two guys, I might be a little biased because I've seen it from both of them. I've seen Keith Lee stuff here in town. I've seen Donovan Dijak stuff in Ring of Honor. I know what they can do. I know they've wrestled each other, but I've never seen it. So, and the first match that they had months ago ended in a double countout because they just want to beat the fuck out of each other. I missed the second match. So this third match, the announce team did a good job of hyping up what we were getting. And pulled out the kickouts they pulled out, the facials, the selling, the holy fuck, what I just hit him with everything I got, and the dude's still alive. Like, Godzilla, what the hell am I doing here?
And just the crazy actual offense that you see out of these two.
Yeah.
It wasn't one-sided. It wasn't just Keith Lee. It was Dijakovic doing some weird stuff, too.
It was Dijakovic went for the cover, and Keith Lee straight up sat up and had him, cradled. Yeah. And Dijakovic's like, no, I don't want no more titty milk. Oh, you going to get this chocolate titty milk.
All right.
Donovan Dijakovic versus Keith Lee.
Was match of the week for me. It was match of the week for you.
Proactively.
Arnold said in the live chat it was going to be match of the week for him. I put a thumbs up. The reason why is because that match is so different. I want there to be a little bit more variety to our matches of the year. Whereas this match that I'm kind of, you know, from this week, Riddle versus Cole, I feel like I've seen this match before, but not with these wrestlers, but with other guys. But, like, I feel like this particular match, Keith Lee versus Donovan, could redefine what being a big man means. You know?
Hernandez was probably 5 to 7 years ahead of his time.
Maybe 10 years ahead of
his time. 10 years ahead of his time. If Hernandez was in the ring now against guys like Lee, Dijakovic,
305
the Suicidal Live. Samoan, Hanson. And
Hanson.
Tim Storm.
Yeah.
Tim Storm.
Well, not Shane so much Taylor.
Shane Taylor?
Shane Taylor.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh. Umanga?
Fuck. Umanga?
Oh, dude. Yeah. I get you, man. I get you completely.
This match at the end of the year could have historical significance of it being the watershed of when things or what big guys can do get changed.
Could. I'm adding it to the list.
So let's add it to the list and just see what happens. Yeah.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled HWR episode to tell you our list currently of our match of the years.
Oh, God.
And when I posted this list a couple of days ago, maybe a week or so ago, we had several listeners tell us that there is a severe lack of NXT on this list.
But we just threw one on there.
Yeah, we just threw one on there.
And we're considering throwing on a second.
Money in the Bank from May. AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins for the Universal strap.
All right, you do that. I'm going to count something else, WWE.
Cody versus Dustin from Double or Nothing, AEW.
AEW.
Lucha Bros versus Young Bucks for the AAA tag titles from the same AEW show.
AEW.
Ospreay versus Takagi from Best of the Super Juniors Final.
New Japan.
Takagi versus Ishii from the G1 Climax, which even then some of our listeners have said that's not even the best match from the G1 Climax.
Yeah, well, they could go suck on them.
Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijakovic NXT. From NXT Television.
All right.
So that's one, two,
three. We got – no. Here it is. One NXT, one, two AEW, one, two New Japan, one main roster WWE. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a nice little variety of the salad bar right there, man.
Uh-huh.
So far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Out of the three title matches, was that your favorite one?
Yes. Which obviously, we're trying to talk about it being fucking match of the year. Yeah.
I take it back. Which one was the worst? Worst, not necessarily being bad, just the less of the three.
The women's.
The women's?
The women's match. Maybe it's because I've seen this match before, not only referring to her versus Candice, Shayna versus Candice, but the fact that Shayna versus any of these girls is starting to feel like
a retread.
Retread, cookie cutter shit, same thing over and over. I've seen this before. There's nothing new or different from a Shayna Baszler match. And Shayna's just going to win it and get it, and boom, that's it. And okay, next. Thank you. Next.
Got you.
Robert says, personally, I'd add Gargano Cole from Toronto and Tyler Bate Walter to that list.
Ooh, yeah. We've had a couple of
Tyler Bate Walter was too one-sided for me.
Maybe that's the charm.
It wasn't for me. I didn't want to see my boy Bate get manhandled. but I think I advocated for Gargano Cole, but you didn't want it, or did Arnold not want it on the list?
There was other things that happened that week.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the hard part of our match of the year candidacy, is that we all have to agree that on the same night, that match is better than everything else. And if that match doesn't,
with the exception of the fucking AEW one where we have two from the same fucking show.
Yeah. So
Robert, since you're fucking commenting on that, tell me, should the NXT world title match from last night be on the list? Should it be on the list of match of the year? Yes or no? Robert, tell us.
You didn't get to watch it because the playlist was catered to you because of lack of time. I might have thought that maybe Io Shirai versus Mia Yim was better than the women's title match. There's something about Candice LeRae, or I like Tenacious C.
Tenacious C.
When I said earlier that example that some of the moves look so clean that it feels choreographed.
Yeah.
I get that from about half of what Candice LeRae does.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
For the diving headbutts outside of the ring that she did
three
times.
She did three in a row.
All of them felt. Tessa Blanchard against that fucking dude from OVE. All of the, even her worst one was better than the best one Candice gave.
Really?
Yeah. Because Candice felt like she ran and she slowed down to make sure her feet didn't get caught up. Some of the kicks, her hitting the ropes. I think there's something about Candice LeRae's moveset that I can't suspend my disbelief enough. And it's not a woman thing, because there's women matches that I can get into more than some of the men matches.
Yeah.
But even in the main roster. But just something about Candice, it's not there for me. Like I hate to say it like this. In the attempt of women trying to be as good, if not better, than men, which some women in the roster, in all wrestling in general, are starting to become, part of that is because they're not afraid to be stiff with each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't see Candice LeRae being stiff or being stiff on, like people doing the rough stuff to Candice. Like, dude, Baszler can go ham on Rhea Ripley because she looks like a girl that can take it. I didn't feel like Baszler was going at 100 miles an hour against LeRae, because she could probably break LeRae if she tried hard enough. So holding back a little.
Have you seen Candice LeRae take the fucking lumbar check from from Cedric Alexander? Have you seen that? That was brutal.
That's one move in one match.
Okay.
Not the whole match.
Okay.
You know, that's just where I'm coming from. And that goes back to your asset being my detriment, that there's certain things that I've already known enough about NXT where, you know what, I might skip a bit of this. You know what, I might pass a bit of this. You know what, I already know what Velvet Dream Team Dream's going to do. Oh, I wasn't expecting him to say that he could take out more than one guy at the same time.
Giggity!
So I'm going to keep watching that shit. So.
Robert Miller says close call, but I vote no to make the championship match of the year.
Gotcha.
It was my match of the week pick, though. It was his pick for the week. maybe not.
It's easy to get swept up in the moment when it's a big show like this against another big show, and everyone's talking about it in general. Yeah. Just it felt like an event, both of them hand in hand. Both. And it, if I had to summarize the whole thing, it's weird that I'm going to say this. If I were to summarize the whole event, it felt like both AEW and NXT are main roster, and Raw and SmackDown are like beneath it. Like very beneath it. Very. You go back during Raw and hear the crickets when they announced Team Hogan versus Team Flair. And then come back to me.
No, it wasn't crickets there.
Oh, come on, bro.
There wasn't crickets.
You're telling
there.
Me after Hogan and Flair were like going at each other, like, all right, brother, you want to go one more? Hey, we're doing team matches.
I don't particularly care about that, but there was pops. There was people going crazy. There was.
How much of Raw did you see last Monday?
I saw all of it.
Oh, it's you. You're the wrong person to ask. Anything else from NXT that you want to break down before we go into the rest of the show?
Yes. The end.
The end.
The end.
Street Profits lose. Oh, God bless Wale. Street Profits lose. Undisputed Era retain. Basically, no titles change hands on
NXT. That was
a
good match, though.
That was good. It was fun.
We fast forward to just see like the last third of it.
I saw the whole thing before you got here.
That's good.
And yeah. But.
But. The end I'm talking about is No One Will Survive. Tommaso Ciampa coming out and giving the eyeball to Goldie. It's like, come back, baby. You know you want it.
And Goldie's bitch.
Yeah. Goldie's handler for the moment. Still Adam Cole.
Question.
Yeah.
Who would you rather see Adam Cole defend? That was quick.
Ciampa. Fuck. Ciampa.
With that being said, watching Finn on NXT today made me realize how badly they misused him on the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
Finn, as much as the NXT cul-de-sac liked Finn when he came back, he's a rehab project.
He is.
As much as I love Finn, dude, he could come out as the demon next week, and I'm still going to be like, nah, I'm going to still need some of that blue chew before I'm going to run with that. Like,
blue chew?
Like, dude, I'm the barado for Ciampa. And that's me being cautious because, man, as an example, I'm going to be a bit jaded going into the theater next week to see the Metallica show, knowing now that James is in rehab.
Okay.
That he was struggling to alcoholism when he put on that show. I'm going to have a different set of eyes watching Ciampa wrestle, knowing the kind of surgery he went through, knowing in the climate right now that a lot of wrestlers, not a lot as in a huge number, but if it's a number other than zero, it's too many. And okay. Wrestlers dying in the ring for freak injuries, and with Ciampa surgery that he's just now come back from, I'm going to be watching Ciampa through a different set of eyes.
All right.
So I'm not like – fully there, but that's because of my own fear of Tommaso the person, not Tommaso the character that I see on television.
Okay.
You know? But with that being said, I still would like to see another three or four matches between Tommaso Ciampa and Adam Cole before you even show me Finn and lingerie. No, give me Ciampa. Like, give it to me.
You know what? And I don't mind if it's a menage a trois. Finn, Ciampa, and Cole?
I do. Finn better be holding the camera. He better not be in the bed with me. No. No.
It's always either food or sex, right?
Or cars. Or metal.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah.
Robert Medlin says, I like Finn on NXT, but I hope it's temporary to build him back up. I want to see Demon versus Fiend at WrestleMania. You know what? This is how you're going to know if NXT is really the third brand. If at WrestleMania you have Raw, SmackDown, and NXT main events.
No, because their NXT's going to have to take over the night before.
Well, then, no, it's still developmental.
No, NXT's going to have its own show instead of getting lost in the shuffle of 14 matches.
Yeah, okay.
What I want to
cross
see,
that bridge. When
no,
we get
what
there.
I want to see is at least I want to see at least 8 guys from the NXT roster, whether it's American or UK, in the Rumble match, and that goes for the women too.
Okay,
so that's where I get to see if it's like legit, especially if, for example, we're not having a takeover before Rumble. We're having a special Worlds Collide event. So okay. Give me an NXT match on the Rumble card.
Okay,
then we'll see if it's featuring NXT or if it's Raw, SmackDown, NXT on the equal plane. But Ciampa, man, poor Cole.
Cole looked like he about to get ate alive by both of them.
Both of them.
You know what that means?
Do you want chocolate or do you want vanilla?
Nah, I want both of them. You know what that means? He's going to defeat both them motherfuckers.
Yep.
He's going to keep the title because, you know.
In one night. If Jericho can do it on the competition,
yep.
Bitch, so can I.
I beat Finn Balor and Tommaso Ciampa in the same night. Adam Cole's
one going. Guy that needed character rehab and one that needed physical.
All right. I want to play a game.
Okay.
All right. I know that here on HWR, we like to do numbers, 1 to 10. Let's change that up.
Ooh.
I want to change it up for one night only. Let's go back to school. Give me a letter grade for the following categories.
Okay.
And we're going to compare and contrast the report cards between NXT and AEW.
Shit.
Okay. Right? AEW, F through A, wrestling, in-ring.
A minus. A. I'd say A.
An A?
A.
An A?
Not A plus, because okay. There's some stuff I skipped.
Okay.
Like that might have just been my humor.
Surprise people showing up. Surprise returns or debuts. AEW. Now, let's remind you of who, you know, Moxley and Jack Swagger. Those two.
Swagger.
Then
Moxley's already been around.
Yeah, but we weren't expecting him.
Yeah. No, he was advertised. Moxley will appear. So I knew he was going to be there.
Oh.
But
give me a letter.
I'd give it a B.
A B?
Yeah.
Okay. NXT.
I'd give that an A. I kind of knew that Tommaso was coming back. They're going to have a documentary on Ciampa on the network.
Mm-hmm. So it was Tommaso and Finn. Mm-hmm. And was Damian Priest kind of a surprise?
Nah.
No. Okay.
Nah.
All right. Atmosphere.
Mm.
AEW.
A plus.
Okay. NXT.
I'm flirting somewhere between B and a B minus. Okay. And the reason I say that, because there was a moment during entrances where one wrestler came out and they had there were two people that were standing up that were cheering and kind of dancing, and everyone in that section was sitting down. You know, if there's a place that everybody that you want to be to, that everybody is into everything, there shouldn't be moments where you see two people going crazy and everybody else is just chill. Or you don't hear matches, spots during matches where it's so quiet, you hear one person cough or one person say some smarky remark. You know, and it's easier to pick that out in a studio that holds about 400 people as opposed to 10. I'm flirting some atmosphere for NXT.
Okay. Okay,
and that's not. And the other part of that is what I mentioned earlier, that there's aspects of AEW where I felt like they were competing with WWE.
Okay,
and one of them was the fact that that might have been so far this year non-pay-per-view. That might have been one of the biggest audiences in professional wrestling here in the United States, and that's counting G1 Climax in Dallas. That's counting pay-per-views. That's counting Raw. That's counting SmackDown. You know, and they've got this week. They're in Boston. And they sold that motherfucker out too. Probably more seats than the fucking Raw and SmackDown that's coming up this week. Well, yeah. I take it back. Last week. because they're going to be in LA for Friday tomorrow.
Okay.
And that's sold out. So, but yeah. So, okay. Yeah, another one?
Yeah. Production.
NXT has stepped up their game on the production.
Okay.
So I'm going to give them a B minus. And the reason it's not at an A, NXT stepped up their game to look just like Raw and SmackDown. AEW stepped up their game to make it look something completely different from the product that they're claiming they're trying to be different from. Okay. So I'm giving AEW the A and I'm giving NXT the B.
I want to take this point, this opportunity to tell you something that you missed because you weren't watching it live. You were at work, right? I turned on the telly because, to be honest, I wasn't sure if AEW was starting at 6 or at 7. Mm-hmm. It just too many numbers in my head, right? So I turned on the telly at like 6 and noticed that TNT was showing Suicide Squad. All right, cool. I'll sit here for the next, 30, 40 minutes or so.
Then and watch the bad half of Suicide Squad?
Watch the bad half of Suicide Squad. Well, I mean, but looking at that, Harley's, not very...
She's got her own movie coming out. You'll get plenty of that.
Well, that's true, but that's coming out.
February 2020.
I was in it for the booty, all right? So I was in it for the booty.
Jay Hernandez has been working out.
Shut up. Anyways, something that had happened was... about 5 minutes into, or like 5 minutes before Suicide Squad was going to end. So like the last commercial break of Suicide Squad, something popped up on the screen that it didn't seem like this was when they were supposed to go to commercial. Like it seemed like it just like interrupted the movie and it said AEW inject number one, like the fuck. And it didn't look like something where, oh, haha, this is us taking over. It seemed like that was a production screen that we weren't supposed to see while they were loading up the film of what turned out to be a backstage promo between the Bucks and Kenny Omega saying, hey, guess what? We're on A and we're going to be on next and it's going to be great for blah, blah, blah. You know, a little bullshit like, kind of like a Being the Elite, like backstage promo kind of thing where Kenny Omega whispers and you can't fucking hear him. That's the reason why I tend to not watch Being the Elite. Because Being the Elite, like you'll hear like
loud stuff. Because it's on a video camera.
Yeah.
It's on a GoPro.
Yeah, it's on a GoPro sometimes.
And then they crank up the HD.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck are they saying? And then they go from like whispering in the back where they're just talking like this and then, hey, we're into the arena. We're having a yell. It's like, oh, motherfucker, goddamn. I can't fucking watch me. Anyway, that's what was there. I was like, oh, okay, that was weird. They kind of fucked up. And blank screen for like 5 seconds, maybe a little bit less, maybe like 4 seconds. But blank screen. And then AEW inject number two. And then blank screen for another like split second. And then there's Jericho with Santana and Ortiz, and they cut a promo about how they're in the first main event, blah, 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 this and that. Tune in. That's weird that they went back to back, interrupted the movie. Is this a commercial break? Is this not a commercial break? And immediately after, regular commercial started playing, and I was like, somebody fucked up. And I was like, oh, no, we're in for a long night. So I don't know if that's going to affect your grades.
I didn't watch it, okay. And that wasn't during the show from start to finish.
Right. Okay.
So I thought you were going to say that, they had a pre-show, a pre-clip of the arena before it started, and there were empty seats. And my rebuttal to that was they only had 30 minutes to fill that place up. The doors opened at 6:30, and the show started at 7.
No, that wasn't it. It was just weird. It was fucking weird. If you were somebody watching it live and you turned on the telly a little bit early – The first taste in your mouth would have been, damn, they don't know what the hell they're doing. Okay. Now, last one. Overall, AEW, give me a letter.
A.
Okay. Solid A. Not A minus, not A plus, A.
NXT, I would probably give an A minus. I think the one thing that you
Did I miss a category?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would tell just me. Think overall freshness. Because, freshness. Yeah, again, I didn't, there was enough of things that I didn't know that I was curious. And again, that had the benefit of the doubt because I was in person for All In. I was in person for Double or Nothing. I saw Fyter Fest. I saw Fight for the Fallen. I saw All Out. They earned the benefit of the doubt of me to watch whatever they put on that first episode to see what I was going to like and what I didn't like. Compared to NXT, which I also knew what was going to be on for most of the show, so I knew what I kind of wanted to watch and what I really didn't want to watch at the time. I might go back later if enough people tell me EO and me and Mia Yim or fucking Gargano against Shane Thorne was good.
Yeah,
but So that's the other part that's missing.
Okay,
so I've got an A for AEW, A minus for NXT.
Cool.
You.
Yes. I'm not going to go through every single one of those categories. But
anything else from round one of the Monday Night War?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm not going to go through every single category. I'm going to get down to the nitty gritty. I'll say A minus AEW and A for NXT.
Oh, that's right. You had NXT. Oh, yeah. So it's weird. We have the same grades.
Just flip-flop. Yeah. Flip-flop. I think the consistency of what NXT had was like more polished. We knew what we were going to have, and the wrestling was solider.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the deciding factor for me. Historical significance, the feel, the importance, all that other stuff, everything else going into AEW made it really, really good. But I think in a vacuum, NXT had the better show.
We're not done.
Okay, we're not done.
Round two coming up next week. AEW is offering Jon Moxley against Sean Spears. And round one of the tag tournament, the Young Bucks against the Private Party. On NXT side, what's been announced so far, non-title match between Kushida and Volta.
Volta.
Main event for the Cruiserweight title, Gabba Gulak defends against Lio Rush.
What, on NXT?
On NXT, next week.
The Cruiserweight.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to 205 Live?
That's still going on? Yeah.
So
There's contractual obligations.
Okay, maybe. So the Cruiserweight title isn't an NXT title. The Cruiserweight's still 205, but they're just going to show that on NXT?
For now. Eventually, NXT's absorbing the 205 roster.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
but Gabba Gulak is defending against who?
Lio Rush.
Lio Rush. Lio Rush had a really good showing the other week.
Only Larkin, Lio. That was good.
That was really good. If you take, and this is going to sound bad because
you're saying it.
Lio Rush is really, he has talent. He doesn't have skill on the mic. Now, what I mean by that is talent you're born with, and it comes natural. Skill you learn and you fine tune it. Okay, you can have talent without skill. You can have skill without talent, or you can have both, or you have neither. Right? Mm-hmm. I think on the mic, Lio Rush is talented. He's not skilled. He needs a coach. He needs somebody to tell him, "Hey, this is how you should use your talents. This is how you should say things. This is how he's talented naturally. He's naturally gifted, but." I don't think he's either, one, had a good coach, or two, he's not coachable
on the mic. Are you talking about his time talking in NXT or his time talking on the main roster?
Both. And I'm also including Twitter on there.
Because the reason, my opinion on the whole thing with the main roster, part of that talent is being given the right things to say. If you were to put a sheet of Japanese paper in front of me and ask me to read this Japanese stuff, I could probably fake it pretty good, but it's not going to sound good because I'm not fluent.
I know.
You give me a language that I can understand and I can rattle off Spanish English very well. So if you're going to give Lio Rush stuff that he's for him to memorize or lines for him to learn that he on another given day probably had no, would never even enter his vocabulary or would want to speak, you're probably not going to come across the way you naturally would. Right,
because he sounds like he can run off at the mouth and be very good if he becomes more comfortable and turns himself up to 11. But the stuff that we've seen is either they give him the reins, and whenever they give him the reins, he says a bunch of stupid shit, or they write stuff for him and he sounds disingenuous. Mm-hmm. So either he's had a bad coach or somebody not coach him, or he's not coachable. One of the two.
On the mic.
On the mic, personality-wise, okay? And like I said, I just kind of snuck that in there, even on Twitter, because we've seen his mishaps on Twitter, right? Him saying stupid shit, getting in trouble for it, saying, you know.
But it's 2019, half the roster's doing that.
I get it, but, like, he needs some direction on that. But that's kind of what unenamored him with a lot of fans and smarks and stuff who were kind of fired up that he signed with WWE. Oh, wow. This guy
got the push so fast to the main roster with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, like a lot of people were fired up about that. Oh, man, this guy, he's really good in the ring. He's fucking awesome. He got signed to WWE. He's in NXT. Oh, great. He's already on the main roster. He's really good, y'all. He's really good. But then he kind of made an ass of himself, both backstage and front stage. And it's like, eh. But yeah. If you take this run in NXT as a reboot for him, and that reboot is going to start fresh where you let his wrestling do the talking, I am on board, and then let him kind of learn the character stuff the right way as he goes
on along. Board enough to let the past go?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the key on a lot of things in pro wrestling people don't really put into consideration. It's one thing to follow a guy, give him a clean slate, but the second he screws up, you bring back everything from the past instead of from that slate.
Yeah.
But so if you're on board with him to the point that you'll let the past go, okay.
Well, I'm not on board yet.
Yeah,
I bought the ticket, and I'm waiting for the train to pull into the station so I could get on board.
Okay. Two things are happening this weekend.
Okay.
Tomorrow. SmackDown's 20th anniversary happens to be its premiere on Fox.
Yes.
On over-the-air rate on television.
Yeah. Fox 26 here in Houston. Mm-hmm. So not Fox Sports, not Fox Sports Southwest, not Fox News, regular old Fox. KRI-VTV.
If you're looking for Hell's Kitchen or MasterChef Juniors, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
SmackDown. Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair against Sasha Banks and Bayley. Anticipation.
3-0.
Who you got winning?
I don't know.
Neither do I.
Stop. Stop for a second. I want to justify why I'm giving this a 3, despite the fact that it has a lot of badass chicks in there, including Becky Lynch. I feel like that this is a regular throwaway SmackDown, hold on a minute, tag team match players match that they're trying to push as something special. The only reason why they're trying to push it as something special is because the show is something special. This match isn't anything special.
The parts that are making the show special are the guest appearances by The Undertaker, Sting, which there has to be a coincidence why those two are going to be on the same show at the same time. And Steve Austin, The Rock, Ric Flair, Hulk, which, by the way, The Rock needs to open that show.
It's The Rock show.
It's The Rock show. His catchphrase came up with the thing in 99, and it hasn't stopped since. This is the prime example of, okay, we're in front of an audience that I'm pretty sure doesn't know who most of these people are, so let's give them something I know they're gonna like, regardless if the fans remember that they don't have a short-term memory and they got this match 4 weeks ago in Madison Square Garden. 0. And I don't care who wins. Roman Reigns against Eric Rowan.
6.
Six?
Yeah. It's Roman. It's Rowan.
Their match at Clash of Champions was good enough that I want to see more.
Their match was good enough. This story has been interesting enough. But again, it's not like an 8 or a 9 because we already done synced it.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was kind of already over with.
No.
It's not over with. Oh, I don't know. Okay.
I've got Rowan winning this.
Sure, why not?
Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon. Ladder match. Loser leaves SmackDown.
8.5. Ladder match. Ooh. Kevin Owens. Ooh. Loser leaves SmackDown. Ooh. This is a culmination of a feud that's been going on for a while. Ooh. Okay. I'm on board. Shane McMahon? So I'm not going to hate too much. I could have been at a 10. 8.5.
Shane shines in the spotty matches, and he's in a fly off.
That's that why I'm not at a 5. Got okay.
You. Got you.
Fucking Shane McMahon. yeah.
A lot of the hardcore wrestling fans feel the same way.
You do. I kind of want Shane to win.
So that Kevin shows up on NXT.
Yeah, I kind of want that to happen.
I'm gonna go to your first. Ooh, I'm at about an 8. Also,
okay.
When was the last time a ladder match was televised on Raw or SmackDown? Period.
That's a good point. Yes, that's another part of it. That is a match that makes the show feel special. Whereas the women's tag match, it's the show trying to make the match feel special. Which
I'm not mistaken, the last ladder match we had on free television was the redo of the first women's ladder match, and Carmella wound up winning it anyway.
Oh, and they had to do that because of backlash.
Yeah, because people were pissed.
Yeah.
But historically speaking, these don't happen often to the point that when they do happen, they're memorable.
Right.
Or memorable-ish. Jeff Hardy versus Rob Van Dam. Eddie Guerrero against Rob Van Dam. Eddie Guerrero against Edge. The TLC 3 with it was 4 teams, Kane and Benoit. Well, one of them, Benoit, was in it. He dove off the ladder and threw a table out ringside, and he passed out, and they took him away. The ladder matches on television, they're a big fucking deal.
Okay,
and that's why we don't get many of them. They're a hot commodity. They're very rare. So I'm at an 8 for this. Not only am I an 8 for this, I'm at a lock to watch this.
Oh,
that it doesn't have to be a 10. But if it's a car crash, I want to see it. So if I'm fast-forwarding through a lot of SmackDown, because, again, Exhibit B, I'm not going to be able to watch all of SmackDown live tomorrow because I'm going to be watching the Joker movie. So I'm definitely making the effort to watch this uninterrupted, unfast-forwarding.
Okay.
I'm watching this. And I'm with you. I got Shane winning this. Number one, I think Kevin will thrive in NXT again with the people that are down there right now. Number two, I like it when WWE fucks with people. Tease me that Shane's actually going to win the goddamn title or do something that's going to piss off wrestling fans more. So go.
Nah,
Sigale.
No. I mean, I'm that last part, I don't share that sentiment. No, no. You know, only because it's Shane. Like, I don't
want
to.
You want it to be Vince?
No.
ECW belt with the do-rag.
It's weird because I think Vince was more credible of a wrestler than Shane is. Shane's just like an insane spot monkey. He's more of a Ric Flair call Mick Foley that made them have
a glorified stuntman.
He's more of a glorified stuntman than Foley ever was. Foley was a real fucking wrestler, right? Who did
stunty stuff. But he was known for the stunty stuff.
But he was known for it, but he did it, but he was a real fucking wrestler. All Shane is a glorified stuntman. If Ric Flair wants to insult anybody by saying you're just a glorified stuntman, Rick, say it about Shane.
Yeah. Kofi Kingston defends the belt against Brock Lesnar. Lesnar's first match on SmackDown in 15 years in front of a live casual audience on Fox Television. The same Fox Television that used to have UFC fight nights in front of the populace. Anticipation level for this.
My anticipation level for this match is 3. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Kofi's gonna fucking need to have a chance, a prayer to win this fucking match. Kofi, I love you, man, but you're about to die. I'm sorry, Kofi. And I don't want you to die, but you're gonna die. And I can't watch it. I can't be bedside and just watch you wither away while they pull the plug and you take your last breath. I can't do it. I don't want to watch this fucking match. I don't want to see it. I'm gonna take off my glasses so I'm already blind, and I'm gonna do this until I hear a crowd go, "Oh!" In which case I'm gonna go like this and like, "Oh, please don't let it be over. Oh God, it's over. Oh no." Why did you fucking sacrifice? You could have given him back the stupid, useless title that he's been having. You had such a good fucking run with Kofi with the WWE title. And now it's gonna go away. He's just a first fucking black man, and you're gonna feed it to the big fucking white guy. And we fucking hate this dude. end. It's good. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see it. I.
Whatever that was is why I'm at a 10.
You sick fuck.
I, for context, was at TLC in San Antonio the year that Sheamus pushed John Cena off the top rope through a table and became WWE champion and witnessed the harvesting of tears from children around my section crying because Superman got a butthole full of kryptonite in there. I want to see everyone in the front row be that guy from WrestleMania. That did this. Followed by whatever the fuck that was that you just did. And oddly enough, that's another match that I'm not going to fast forward through.
Okay.
Because they have the opportunity to convince me that Kofi can actually week one out. If Kofi finds a way for Kofi to win, holy dog shit.
If Kofi wins this, by the time you hit the 1, 2, 3, if Kofi wins, then my anticipation level is going to be at a 10. For a match that's already over. That's the only way my anticipation level is going to be up.
Among other things. You're going to celebrate that black guy saving the title, right?
Yeah. Easy little fella.
Man, there's been so much emphasis on this match about, oh, it's a given Brock's going to win. What if it isn't? What if something happens, and they have to have the rematch at Hell in a Cell?
Bro. Really?
Really?
Come on, dude, come on. The easy story is the one to tell if you tell her.
Yeah, the easy story is this and Vince's.
Here's what won me.
All right.
Raw, when Ray's in the ring, Brock snatches the mic from his hand and he gives it to Heyman. And then Heyman's about to talk. Ladies and what the fuck? Ray snatches the mic back and he's staring up, not staring down. He's staring up at Brock and he's about to like spit some Spanish shit to him before he gets killed. And Baby Walter got killed. Mm-hmm. And Paul Heyman was about 2 no-finger wags away from also being killed.
Yeah.
I'm at a 10 for this. Brock Lesnar going full white man without a gun. Yeah, that's If that's not terrorism, I don't know what is. I've got Brock killing somebody. But I'm waiting for the carnage, bro.
Okay.
But they can surprise me. And the reason I say that is because Hell in a Cell has only got 3 advertised matches so far.
Right.
Three. Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks inside the cell. Okay. Give me a number.
Oh, shit. Becky versus Sasha inside the cell. 9.
Who you got winning?
I don't know.
Flirt with it. Sasha. You know what?
Sasha's I'll tell you who I want to win. I want Becky to win because I love me Becky. I loves my Becky. So just by default, I'll say Becky. If Sasha wins, it makes sense because she just had this new heel turn. She's got blue hair. She has this character change. Why not? Becky's been held in it for a while. Okay, give it to Sasha. I get it if that happens. I'm not going to be mad. Okay, cool. But I like Becky, so I'll say Becky.
Reinforce the Sasha Banks character that we're all aware of, the one that Corey Graves constantly reminds us of. Have Sasha win at Hell in a Cell, and Sasha's first title defense in a rematch against Becky, she loses it right back to Becky, just like she did with Charlotte, just like she did with Bayley, just like she did with everybody else. And reinforce the fact that she's a choker in big time situations when she has to defend the belt, and drive Sasha crazy that she has fucking Skittles hair, all the colors, because she can't decide how angry her mood ring is. Okay. I would have Sasha win, even if it's just one night. I would have Sasha find a way. That cell match is full of protection from buttfuckery. You can do all kinds of crazy shit to protect Becky in a loss, and you still want to see Becky give Sasha her comeuppance.
Okay.
So I've got Sasha winning this match.
That's a way smarter take than my take.
How about Roman and D-Bry against the Hammer Brothers? Tag match.
Seven? I don't really know what to make of this match because D-Bry's still kind of a heel, but I want him to be a face, and Roman's still kind of a face, but I want him to be a heel. But they're mix-matching them together, and WWE typically doesn't do very well when we have heels and heels doing stuff. So that's the face team going against the heel Hammer Brothers. I don't know. And, like, why Harper? Like, I get it. They were the Bludgeon Brothers. I get it. There's history. But I need me a little bit more. Like, are they now again the Bludgeon Brothers? Or are they just Harper and Rowan who used to hang out with each other? You know what? We're not the Bludgeon Brothers anymore. This guy's a fucking genius. I'm a fucking genius, too. We're not going to walk around with masks and pretend like we're scary, spooky.
And plastic hammers.
You know, and plastic hammers. No, we're a real threat. I want you to be serious. We haven't had that promo yet. We've kind of had that promo from Rowan, not necessarily from Harper. Why are they together? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And they're going to fight these two.
We could get that on Friday.
Maybe we could. But they're fighting these two that are not together yet. Maybe we could get that explanation on Friday. But you know what? Today's not fucking Friday.
Today's Thursday. Still for another hour and a half.
And you asked me what my anticipation level is for today. Right now. Hoy. Ahorita. Ahorita mismo, güey.
Aujourd'hui.
Si. Siete.
My anticipation is peaking at about a 6.
Nine.
But the outcome could be better than expected.
Okay.
I'm getting flashbacks from Fall Brawl?
Fall Brawl.
There was a pay-per-view where Sting teamed up with Ric Flair against Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman. And he was in a team-up with them on one night. But if you cross me, that's your ass. And Sting was getting his ass whooped by Arn Anderson and from Brian Pillman. And Sting finally got the hot tag to the Nature Boy. Woo! Here comes Ric Flair, ready to beat the fuck out of his old four horsemen friends. Ric Flair turns right around and starts beating the shit out of Sting. And the four horsemen are back stronger than ever.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan is turning on Roman.
And Daniel Bryan is not going to control the Bludgeon Brothers?
Yeah. All along.
Because he tried to do that in the Wyatt family when Bray was still around. But now that Bray's doing his thing with the Fiend, now he's going to take over the Wyatt family. And it's really the Bryan family now. Okay. That's a little convoluted, but sure.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got the brothers in winning this. I've got okay. Bryan turning on Roman. I'm, as much as the money is on Bryan as a face is, he's not winning me over as coming across as a face yet. And I don't think the tweener role is working either.
He's still a heel right now.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he's staying heel. There has to be something else. That I don't think that – I think Roman would have got a better face reaction if they put him together with a guy like Joe, who didn't need a character direction retool to get to where he was.
What happened to Joe in all this? It was going to be Joe. Did they change their mind and decide to go with Bryan? Because Joe was the one that was the heel that started getting the sympathy because he was the one that was wrongly accused.
And they checked on Roman when he got hit by the car. Holy crap, my fellow Samoan from the other family that I'm not a part of.
They transferred all that shit to Bryan.
And it's just not working. To me, it's not working.
That would have worked a little bit better with Joe. That would have been easier.
Because Bryan was doing just fine before they even added Rowan to it. And then the whole thing with the two and all that, and then breaking them up and Bryan being, oh, we're supposed to have sympathy for Bryan because he wasn't in the wrong. It was the monster, not Frank. It was Frankenstein, not the doctor that was in the wrong. And we're supposed to have sympathy for him, but we still are booing him. he's still an asshole, but we chant yes because we like the yes chant.
Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot of dissonance in there.
Yeah. Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins, the other Hell in a Cell match.
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
El Fiend. Seth.
El Findo.
Yeah.
Eight.
Defend it.
I want it to be higher, but I fear so much stuff that could happen going into or coming out of this match. Like, the Fiend can lose, and then we're reminded why we lost interest in Bray Wyatt. Because he never wins a big one, he just loses. Or the Fiend can win, which is great. Was it too soon? I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe this is finally what got Bray over that hump. But, I mean, what about Seth? I mean, I know a lot of wrestling smarks out there don't like Seth Rollins now all of a sudden out of nowhere. When, like, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, you were all about him. Fucking Arnold would show up over here masturbating all over himself off of whatever fucking Finn did that week. You know, like, yeah, okay. Or, excuse me, Finn. Seth. But now what? Because he said something halfway sideways that he apologized for negatively about AEW, his competitor, which he should. But oh no, you forgive Kenny Omega when he says something sideways and he apologizes for it. But
or to Ospreay.
But you don't forget. You don't forgive Seth. Why? Because he's got Becky. What's so bad about him being with Becky? Fuck, I'd fuck Becky. I'd be with her.
They shoved that shit down our throats for 3 months, and it made the Seth character so second fiddle.
They didn't do that. That shit was on fucking TMZ and social media and this and that. And then it was
the whole storyline on television on Raw then SmackDown about I'm the man's man and oh my god, Seth and Becky are a couple. And
they didn't overplay that shit.
They had a mixed tag match to headline the pay-per-view with those two.
Yeah, it was a mixed tag match, but it wasn't just, oh, it was because there were a couple of them and that's it. I don't know. I don't feel like it was overplayed.
I'm at a six.
Okay.
Mostly from what you said in the beginning. It's not so much what I want, what I'm looking forward to in the match. It's more of the aftermath.
Yeah.
It's like I'm going 100 miles an hour. Eventually, I'm going to hit a wall, and I know what that's going to look like, and I don't want to see it. So I'm going to just not drive, kind of.
Okay.
There has to be a way that everyone comes out a winner in this, because the way the match is set up now, I still don't think that that the Fiend character's motivation for him being who he is to be a champion.
No, it's not.
There has to be something to this. I would want Bray to put the mandible, just an example. I would want Bray to put the mandible claw on Seth and fall and then cut that promo in Firefly Funhouse the next night saying that your friendship means more to me than any title.
And then put his fucking...
And then do something else with him. Like, keep fucking with Seth to the point where, okay, I'm champion. He let me beat him, and he's still fucking with me. What do I have that he wants? Why does he want to hurt me? So
I know what he has.
Becky. That's so out there, but it fits the Fiend character that it makes sense. It's a different outcome to preserve Seth. I hate that I'm going to use this analogy because I'm looking at him right now. Seth, to me, this year feels like Randy Orton. He needs something interesting.
Oh.
And if you fuck with him in that way where, oh, he beat the shit out of me and he let me beat him and he's still fucking with me, what do I have that he wants so bad? Or what did I do to make him feel so hurt that not even the championship's going to heal him? And feed me that to make Seth interesting and for me to keep beating off on Bray, the Fiend. Because otherwise, if he wins a championship, unless the fucking pig's going to be walking around with it, the puppet, I don't know what the point of him having the title is. And if you beat him clean in his second match as the Fiend, okay, for me to accept it and to keep going. And the fear of what happens after is making me apprehensive of wanting to watch the thing in general.
Okay.
I might just fast forward to the end just to get it over with.
And see, you said this a little bit earlier about the other Hell in a Cell match. Hell in a Cell, you could have a lot of shenanigans, and you could also have stuff where you could protect the champion even in a loss. You could do a bunch of like weird stuff in there that protects its different characters. But I would like to take you back to Bray Wyatt versus Dean Ambrose in Hell in a Cell. That was not a good finish to that match. Remember, he had the thing that like blew up, like he had something he was going to hit him with. Was it a TV or what was it?
I don't even remember.
He had something, a light or something, and he was going to hit it, and it like exploded, and it was just stupid. Like it was bad for everybody involved to the point where we're kind of blocking it out of our memories.
I don't even remember.
No, there you go. See, and you yawned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
What are you more excited to watch, Hell in a Cell or SmackDown 20?
SmackDown 20. I think there's more of an emotional connection there for me with that. I remember when SmackDown first aired. I remember when it
was...
The
one special. It was the one episode special on UPN.
I watched it. I taped it.
The main event was Stone Cold and The Rock teaming up against DX.
I believe so. And then, what was it, like a month later, 3 weeks later, something like that?
It was months later. They were going to do a whole –
they're like, this is going to be a series. And I watched it, taped that. And from there on, I watched every single episode all the way up until I went to college. I had a streak. Watched every episode and taped every episode. Then when I went to college, you know, missed out on that because, you know, it's in college. They came back, and then I just picked it back up again. I haven't missed that many episodes of SmackDown except for the years where right before we started doing HWR.
We recorded on Tuesdays when SmackDown.
SmackDown, yeah, was basically a Raw recap show where it wasn't
And it was taped, anymore. So we knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, like that. Like, those were the only two periods of time when I didn't watch SmackDown religiously. Even then, I tried to catch most of those. Mm-hmm. So, I have more of a connection to SmackDown than I do Raw. Because growing up, I didn't have cable. I always had to rely on friends to watch Raw. I never watched the first Raw. All the Raws in the Hammerstein Ballroom, I never saw any of those. I didn't actually start watching Raw until it was Raw was War, when I actually had people I could go over and watch it with. That was when my reliance was solely on Coliseum Home Video and WWE Magazine for me to stay caught up on wrestling at that point. But when SmackDown hit, that was my jam. It was on free fucking TV. My mom and dad didn't have to pay for fucking cable. They could just put the fucking VCR in there, hit record, and we could go do whatever. They could bring me back home from the fucking jewelry store that they had and this and that and all that stuff. But I still goddamn watch it because I could, you know? So I have more of an emotional connection with SmackDown.
Same. More relevant question.
Not saying that the booking is better or that I'm more excited for this than I was AEW or fucking NXT, or that means that they're doing such a great job. That's not an indictment on Hell in a Cell. That's also not a compliment on Hell in a Cell. It's just because of the emotional nostalgic connection. That's it.
Yeah, I'm. If it wasn't for the fact that I got the tickets for the movie for tomorrow, I would definitely be watching the whole thing live.
Cool.
There's no need to DVR it because it's over the air television. So, little tidbit to wrap it up. We had some news that we didn't get to because it's damn near 11 o'clock.
We still got 5 viewers.
Shit. If
they went quiet in the live chat, though.
I think they all passed out.
Yeah.
If we haven't had enough wrestling, are you ready for some more?
Oh shit!
Starting this Tuesday. 7:05 Eastern, 6:05 our time. NWA Power on YouTube.
YouTube?
Yep.
Okay. So who has a show on YouTube? That's fucking stupid. Here we are with the show on YouTube.
I have a Twitch app on my phone. My phone came with a YouTube app. So I'm readily available to watch NWA whenever they air it. So, and some of the guys on their roster, I'm intrigued by James Storm, Tim Storm, Starks from here, from NWA.
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, he's on there. Nick Aldis.
Yeah.
Cole Cabana, Mr. Anderson. You know, they've got enough. They got enough names there that'll get me through a couple of episodes.
Jason Kincaid, yeah. Right? He's still there. Yeah, yeah, he was pretty cool. What about Chase Owens? Is he still in NWA?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
I'm not sure. So there's enough talent there.
Jack Stain, Ray Rose, former tag team partner.
I haven't from
okay
from spoilers that I've read from the tapings that have already happened. I did not see Jack Stain's name on there.
Okay.
I hope that comes back. They did announce their first pay-per-view post NWA on television,
mm-hmm,
or over the air. Is going to be at the Hard Rock in Atlanta in December. I'm actually thinking about driving up there for that. So yeah, more wrestling for the schedule. We got Monday Night Raw, NWA on Tuesdays. We got NXT and AEW on Wednesday.
God damn it.
NXT UK on Thursday. Oh, Impact's also on Tuesday on AXS.
Right.
Friday, SmackDown. And then Saturday is New Japan and Women of Wrestling on Access.
God
and
damn
then
it.
Sunday's pay-per-views for WWE. Saturday's pay-per-views for NXT and AEW. Full Gear in Baltimore in November is on a Saturday.
Oh my God.
Goodbye, social life.
Yes, indeed. I kind of feel like Thanksgiving after like the second or third plate, and then
that's when you start noticing the turkey and the stuffing and the cranberry sauce is all touching, and you don't care because it's all going to end up in the same bottomless pit anyway.
No, that's when the tia that's late shows up with, mijo, I brought tamales too.
Oh!
Like,
I'm gonna take a dozen to the toilet so when they come in, it comes out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna shortcut the process.
Yeah, like,
give me a gallon of water.
Like,
not from experience.
Like, I'm complaining because there's too much shit to eat. There's too much shit to watch.
Knowing damn well the
I
kids across the kids in the poor,
in
impoverished countries don't have access to 7 days of wrestling a week.
Yeah. Fuck.
Did you just go balder thinking about the schedule?
Yes, I did.
You had a thicker hairline 30 minutes ago when talking about Kofi.
Yeah, makes sense. Damn.
Is there anything else?
No, sir.
Is that a show?
That's a show. Let's get out of here.
All right.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Man.
One more team.
Oh, God damn it. What?
Think the Astros will make it all the way this season?
I hope so. They have a really, really good shot. However, it's actually kind of rare that the number one team in a sport throughout all the regular season gets everything, all the accolades, all the MVPs, all this and that. It's rare that they wind up going to championship because sometimes it's like they peak once the season ends and they're on such a high that they just kind of get got somewhere in between throughout the playoffs.
Oh, you're worried about Gerrit Cole winning the Cy Young and what is it, Correa or Springer winning the MVP?
That and the fact that they just have the best record in baseball. They're going to have a home field advantage throughout. They're the heavy favorites. Everyone thinks they're going to win it again. And it's not like how it was in 2017, where in 2017, the experts thought they were going to win it. But there was like,
people.
You know, what the fuck? The Astros?
Who are these guys?
Hell
that guy still needs to go to high school.
And they had the chips on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Well, they still have a chip on their shoulder now, but I don't know. It's almost like they're overproving stuff. And save some of that juice for the postseason. So I'm nervous. I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, and I don't want to jinx them by saying, fuck yeah, they're going to win, because look, they're the best team in baseball.
They jinxed themselves the last week, maybe week and a half. They left way too many runners on base last week and a half. Our pitching's damn good. Greinke was probably the best addition all season to any team that we picked up. I severely think that it's going to be a rematch, Astros versus Dodgers. I'm glad we got Tampa Bay. Oakland would have been a trap series. I think Oakland might have fucked us up when we weren't looking.
Yeah. Well, they had a couple of rough games against Oakland, you know, just like a month ago, less than a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we got Tampa. We'll wipe Tampa out in like a game. We don't even need to go to three games. We'll wipe them out after one. Yeah. Just take us to the next round already. But I think I've got Astros, Dodgers, World Series, and I think Astros in six.
I'm not
Jim McInville putting $3.5 million on it, but I'm pretty. I don't think any other team comes close.
I'm not afraid of the Dodgers, not because I think they could just wipe the floor with the Dodgers. No, they're a serious threat. I'm afraid of the Yankees taking them out before they even get to the Dodgers. I think the Yankees might take out the Astros.
One of their best hands is already out for the rest of the season and postseason for domestic violence. And towards the end, I don't think the Yankees were that. They were starting to show flaws too. Yankees were. So okay. I think if we can exploit that, we can probably handle the Yankees. I think the biggest threat would still be the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In which case,
whichever team Kershaw is on has to be some kind of a threat.
If that's in the World Series, I don't want to say I'm happy that they made it to the World Series. I definitely don't want to say that, especially if they get swept.
You know? As long as they don't get swept, second place ain't that bad.
Yeah.
Knowing that we got one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, but fuck, man.
Because, I mean,
I can't do a White Sox thing again. I can't.
I can't do that. I can't do that. But look at the Patriots. The Patriots didn't win every single year right in a row, in a row, in a row.
Yeah.
They, like, 1-2, skip a year, win, one, skip.
Avocado
one,
skip, shake.
You know. Yeah. So it's like, okay.
Deflatable.
Yeah. They have, like, fucking, I don't know, was it 72 years of being dominant, of being a dynasty, and they won, like, 30 of those years they won the Super Bowl. Okay, great.
Hire a criminal and become great again.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe
Antonio Brown's the exception to that rule.
Maybe the Astros could have something similar to that, except they're like the faces, whereas the Patriots are fucking heels about it. Like, you know, Brady and Belichick, they're fucking heels. But AJ Hinch and company, whoever else will be the Brady for that team, you never know. So it could be Yordan Alvarez. It was fucking Altuve. Now it's Bregman. Who knows? But, like, whoever is the Brady for this season, they're all baby faces. Like, I don't know of anybody that hates the fucking Astros other than, like, Dodgers and Yankees fans. You know? Like, everybody is like, oh, yeah, the Astros
maybe
are cool.
Some Red Sox.
Yeah, maybe. But, like, even then, that's, like, sports hate. Like, if you take the sports hate out of it, they're like, oh yeah, they're nice guys. If you take the sports hate out of football, people still don't like the Patriots, you know?
Or New England.
Yeah.
Or they don't shave with Gillette.
Yeah.
Now we get on
it. That's it.
Yeah.